I'd like to welcome you to the Celebration of Life service for Sharon Summers. We're so glad to have you here. We trust that this meeting will be a blessing. Sharon has been a teacher here at Calvary for many, many years. And she's here today giving us one more lesson. And the lesson that she's teaching us today is this is the end of all persons. This is the end. And I think the lesson she would want you to consider would be, are you prepared for this moment as well? Sharon was. We're so glad to know that she is with her Savior. And so we have the opportunity to be here to celebrate her going home. Number 566 is going to be our opening song, but let's have a word of prayer before we do that. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be here today. We ask you, Father, for your blessing upon the family. Father, we pray that you might wrap your loving arms around them and show them your love in a way that only you can. We pray, Father, that you might give them the peace that passes all understanding to know that Sharon is with you. What a joy that is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we pray today that the things said and done would honor and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he might get all the glory from this service. We thank you for Sharon. We thank you for our opportunity to have known her. She was such a loving person. And we just pray, Father, today, again, for your blessing upon the family, that you might be with them throughout these days ahead. And we pray that you would help us to honor you today. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So if you would turn with me to number 566, and we'll sing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
Sorrows like sea billows roll. Our scripture reading this afternoon comes from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you very simply to confront every person here today on the condition of their soul and to think about the question, is it well with their soul? We thank you that it is well with Sharon's soul today. We thank you that she is with you, absent from the body and present with the Lord. We thank you for that comfort and for that encouragement. We pray now that you would help us to consider your word for a few moments. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture that we just read is one that Sharon picked out for her service. She did that in a conversation that we had nearly 20 years ago. And after her homegoing on Tuesday, the Lord brought that conversation to mind. And so, as Sharon wished, we're going to consider this psalm that is probably the best known psalm, the most loved psalm, in all of the 150 psalms that we have in this book. If this were the only scripture that we had, if this were our Bible, it contains all that we need for this life and for the life to come. John Phillips, in his commentary on this psalm, talks about a number of ways to divide it. In verses 1 through 3, David takes us into the glen, the place of green pastures and still waters. In verse 4, he takes us into the gorge, the valley of the shadow of death. And then in verses 5 and 6, he takes us up into glory, the house of the Lord forever. Another way to divide this psalm is by considering the one that David is introducing here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He introduces him first in verses 1 through 3 as the one who can take care of our frailty. He provides for our needs. He gives rest. He leads. He restores. Then verse 4, David introduces the Lord Jesus as the one who can take care of our foe. Our foe. Our greatest foe. The foe that's with us every day. The foe that we are only separated from by a single step. That foe is death. And then in verses 5 and 6, he introduces the Lord Jesus as the one who can take care of our future in the house of the Lord forever. But of all the ways that this psalm can be divided, the one that is a particular blessing, and perhaps the one that stuck in Sharon's heart, is the one that John Phillips found in his mother's Bible the day after she had gone home to be with the Lord. He found beside this 23rd Psalm, she had written, "The secret of a happy life, a happy death, a happy eternity." And that's the division that we want to think about for a few moments this afternoon. The secret of a happy life begins in the opening words of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The word Lord here is the word Jehovah. And it's an interesting word because it combines the three tenses of the Hebrew verb to be. And it presents God as the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to be. The Lord Jesus said of himself in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." He's the eternal one. And this one who inhabits eternity stepped out of eternity and into time. And he stood before the Jews in John chapter 8 and he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." The I am of Exodus chapter 3. The Jehovah God of the Old Testament is the I am of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's why the Lord Jesus came into this world. To give his life on the cross of Calvary for all of us who Isaiah tells us, like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. A way that seems right to us. But God says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. The Lord Jesus came into this world to have laid on him, as Isaiah tells us, the iniquity of us all. So that he might be my shepherd. So that he might be your shepherd. Everyone in this room today has a shepherd relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some here, and to you, the Lord Jesus is a shepherd. A shepherd. He's simply one among many. You look on him as just another one of the founders of one of the world's religions. There are others here, and you acknowledge the Lord as the shepherd. And to show that he is the shepherd, you go to church. You give your money. You do the best you can. You believe in the historical Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas and the Jesus of Easter. But all that you've done by acknowledging the Lord as the shepherd is just to set him apart from everyone else. He's someone that you take off the shelf when there's trouble. Someone that you take off the shelf when there are problems in your life or sorrow, like the death of a very close loved one. But you'll come here today and you'll go to the graveside today, and when all of the service is over and the bitterness of death is past, after all, it wasn't you that died. Now you're going to go out of the house of mourning. And you may not verbalize it, but your attitude is, I can get back to my life as usual. Go on doing my own way, my own will. Acknowledging the Lord Jesus as the shepherd is just to set him apart from everyone else. He's someone to take off the shelf on Sundays, a little while on Sunday morning. And then put him back up there at noon so you can go on and live your life and be the shepherd, your own shepherd. I'll tell you something about those who acknowledge the Lord Jesus as a shepherd or the shepherd. They aren't happy. No matter what the outward appearance is. And it's like that because deep down, you know that the Bible is true when it says there is but a step between you and death. David said that, the man who wrote this song. There is but a step between me and death. And so you run to and fro and you fill your life with work. And you fill your life with all kind of material things and all kind of activities to suppress one truth that God brings before every person here when we come to a service like this. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And you can run as hard as you can to stay one step ahead of death, but one day, death is going to overtake you. I think about a line from a poem that was written by Emily Dickinson. Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. One day, death is going to stop for you. That's why God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning, where we are right now. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that, the house of mourning is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. This service today is a celebration of Sharon's homegoing. But this service is for those of us who are alive and here today. Think about the mercy of God to bring us here. To bring us here for whatever number of times we've been in a service like this in our lives. To remind us in the house of mourning that the secret of a happy life is with those who have turned to God from their sin and who can say, the Lord is my shepherd. That's Sharon's testimony. And it's her testimony because there was a time in her life when she believed the message that the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his life for the sheep, and she was one of the sheep for whom he died. He gave his life for the sheep on the cross of Calvary, where he was made sin for us. He took our sin and our wickedness and our rebellion on himself, and he shed his blood that the sheep might have life, his life. That his sheep might not want for anything that pertains to life and godliness. That his sheep might lie down in green pastures and be led beside still waters. Be led in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. The secret of a happy life begins at the cross of Calvary. It's there that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And when we do that, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. And the depth of those words, the depth of the happiness of those words, is found in John chapter 10 and verse 27, where the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Is the Lord your shepherd this afternoon? Or is he just a shepherd? Or maybe the shepherd? See, a happy life is not the result of luck. It's the result of knowing the Lord. And what we find in this psalm in verses 1 through 3 is that the good shepherd shares his life with us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's peace. Peace I leave with you, the Lord Jesus said. Not as the world gives peace. My peace give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is the blessing of the good shepherd, that he shares with his own. There's no need to worry. There's no need to fear. But not only does the good shepherd share his life with us, he gave his life for us. We see that in these words, he restoreth my soul. That word restoreth, if you look it up, is a very interesting word. It means to bring back. To bring back. And so what David is telling us is that the Lord brings back. He brings back my soul. David explains a little further on in the Psalms, in the 103rd Psalm, exactly what that means. Where he says of the Lord, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. If you know the Lord today as your Savior, that is what he has brought you back from. Destruction. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. This word restoreth brings before our minds a parable that the good shepherd told. A parable about one lost sheep. You remember that the good shepherd left the 99. He left them in the wilderness and he went into the mountains to go after that one lost sheep and bring him back. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us and he bears to this day the scars that he received in his hands and his feet and his side while rescuing our souls on Calvary's mountain. But not only does the Good Shepherd share his life with us and give his life for us, he puts his life in us. Christ in you, Paul wrote, the hope of glory. That's what equips us to live the Christian life. As we die daily to ourselves and we deny ourselves and we allow the life also of the Lord Jesus to be made manifest in our body. And so in this psalm we have the secret of a happy life. It's found only, it's not found in things or position or wealth or fame. A happy life is only found when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as my shepherd. But we also have the secret of a happy death here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We notice that what we have here is only the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of an animal can't bite. The shadow of a weapon can't kill. The shadow of death can't harm the child of God. You know, where there is a shadow, there has to be two things. There has to be a substance, something, and there has to be light. The psalm that precedes this psalm, Psalm 22, is the psalm of the crucifixion. And in Psalm 22, David talks about the valley of the substance of death. In Psalm 22, in verse 1, he begins with the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the cry of the Lord Jesus from the cross of Calvary. You see, the very substance of death is to be forsaken of God. Forsaken of God. And that, by the grace of God, is what the Lord Jesus tasted for every man on the cross. He was forsaken of God. And he endured the substance of death for us on the cross of Calvary. The eternal judgment of God poured out against our sin on him. But where there is a shadow, there's substance, but there also is light. The Lamb is the light. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. The light is the glorious gospel of Christ. And when we hear that message and we humble our hearts and we repent of our sin, God, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, commands the light to shine out of darkness. And he shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as the light shines on the substance of the cross, as the light shines on the substance of the finished work of Christ there, all there is in death for the child of God is a harmless shadow. What's there for the child of God is a happy death That's the kind of death that Sharon experienced on Tuesday. Is it the kind of death that you're going to experience? Or is what awaits you the very substance of death? Not a harmless shadow, but the very substance of death. To be abandoned and forsaken of God for all eternity. Because you will not come to Him that you might have life. And finally, in this psalm, we have the secret of a happy eternity. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Eternal life for the child of God isn't something that you get in the future. It's something that we have the moment that we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. It's something that we have the moment that we're saved. This verse tells us two things about the future. Two things about the journey that the child of God takes. It gives us a glimpse of the road ahead. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God gives His children two great companions to accompany them on the road to glory. Those companions are goodness and mercy. Goodness takes care of and directs our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Goodness takes care of and directs our steps. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Mercy picks us up. Mercy picks us up and restores us when we fall. C.H. Spurgeon used to call goodness and mercy God's footmen. Like the footman of a wealthy man's coach, goodness and mercy follow the child of God to our eternal home. They follow our sister Sharon, and they smooth her journey home by delivering her from the pain and the suffering that had come to characterize her life. What a provision. What a provision the Savior makes for His children. Then in the last words of this verse, we get a glimpse of the King's home. David says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And the reason that David is able to say that is because of what the Lord Jesus would say over 1,000 years in the future. In John chapter 14, where He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There's no better description of a happy eternity than those words. This psalm, this 23rd psalm, I think we can see how and why Sharon would choose this psalm for this service today. It contains everything we need. The secret of a happy life, secret of a happy death, the secret of a happy eternity. And it all begins with those very simple words in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Is He your shepherd today? Our Father, we thank You that Brother Ben, as Brother Benny mentioned a few minutes ago, Sharon has brought us here. She's brought us here to hear the message of the gospel. The message that we're about to celebrate at Easter, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He's the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. And Father, we pray that if there are any here today who are not your sheep, they're going on in their own way, that you would speak to them, help them to see their need for you today. This is the end of all men, and the Lord has brought us here to lay it to our hearts. For those who know you today, Father, we pray that we would rejoice, because very soon we're going to see you. And we just pray that you would use this service today to cause us to see the importance of living for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.